So we are holding on Samakhay Omud Bey's 20 line, about 20 lines from the bottom. Line begins with Khazili. We're still in the middle of discussing issues involving Schiras Rishus, whereas we said in the Mishnah, if a Goy is living in a chotzer together with Jews, or at least one Jew according to the mayor, at least two according to the Blaz Ben Yaakov, then you can't make an Eruv Chatzeres unless you, and you can't carry in the chotzer, and you can't make an Eruv Chatzeres unless you do Schiras Rishus, unless you rent the premises from the Goy, at least symbolically, as we said at the beginning of the parak. So here's an issue involving that. The Gemara says, Rish Lakish v'Talmidei Rav Chanina iklu lahu pundak. One time Rish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rav Chanina were staying at a certain inn for Shabbos. Rashi actually gives two explanations. One is that the situation was that you had at least two Jews over there, because you had Rav Chanina, you had Rish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rav Chanina. In addition, you also had the owner of the place was a goy. That goy wasn't there on Shabbos, but there was another goy who rented the place from him who was there on Shabbos. So they'd need to do Schiras Rishus. That's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation, Rashi says, is that never mind even the goy, just the fact that you have two Jews together, each one in their own room, is enough to create a problem, to require an Eruv and to require Schiras Rishus. We're going to learn later on in the parak that guests don't make an Eruv required. If you have a house of your own and a chotzer, and then you have some guests with you for Shabbos, you're not required to make an Eruv just because the guests are there. But here, because the actual balabas, the actual person who owns the place, is not there, then therefore that could create an issue. The point is also, the question was, what do we do as far as Schiras Rishus? Do we need the original owner, or can we do Schiras Rishus from the Goyish tenant? Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting historical tidbit over here. We know, of course, the famous story of how Rish Lakish was made into a Baal Tshuva and a Talmid Chacham by Rabbi Yechanan, the famous story in Bava Metzia over there. Tosfos over here and in a couple of other places says that it seems Rish Lakish had originally been a Talmid Chacham, then he went off the Derech, and then Rabbi Yechanan got him to do Tshuva and go back to being a Talmid Chacham. How do we see that from this story? Tosfos says. Because we're going to say that they went and asked Rab Office. Now the Gemara tells us in Ksubas that Rab Office was the next Rosh Yeshiva after Rebbe passed away. And Rab Office, Tosfos learned, now the Gemara says over there something about 2.5 years. On the surface, the Gemara means that Rab Office was 2.5 years older than, the Gemara mentions over there 2.5 years. On the surface, it means that he was 2.5 years older than Rab Chanina, who was the next possible candidate who became the next Rosh Yeshiva. But Tosfos seems to learn it means that Rab Office himself was Rosh Yeshiva for only 2.5 years. So it means this story had to have happened within 2.5 years after Rebbe passed away, for them to be going and asking Rabbi Office after that he passed away. Meanwhile, we have the story of Rabbi Yechanan meeting Rish Lakish and making him into a Baal Tshuva only happened many years after that. So the implication is that when Rebbe passed away, and for a short time after that, Rish Lakish was still a Talmid Chacham, then he went off the Derech, became a bandit leader and so forth, and then later on, Rabbi Yechanan helped him to become a Baal Tshuva again. Anyway. So in this story, so again, you have Rish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rav Chanina. We're in this inn. V'loy have a soicher. The landlord, the goyish landlord, the owner of the place, is not there for Shabbos. V'have a maskir, but the goyish tenant was there. Omru, so they're wondering among themselves, mahu l'mega mine, are we allowed to do schiras rishus from this goyish tenant? Now, the considerations are as follows. Kol hecha delay motzi misalikle, if the landlord is not able to throw out the tenant, in other words, if the tenant, let's say, has a lease and you know he's gonna be there until a certain date regardless. Then there's no question. Obviously, you can't rent from the tenant. Because then it can't be considered in the reshus of the landlord. if he himself, if he can't, if he's not able to throw out the sky before the term is up. Kitiboy hechad motzi misalikli. The question would be, what happens if it's the scenario? Let's say he doesn't have a lease, so for whatever reason, the deal is that the landlord can tell the tenant anytime he wants, pack up your stuff and move. I need the place for myself. So do we say mai? So what do we say then? Kiven de motzi misalikli. On the one hand, then we're saying that he's able to throw him out and take over the place. Therefore, agrinon, that might be a reason to allow us to be able to rent from, to do schiras or shuras from the tenant, because in effect, then the tenant is sort of then standing in place of the, is working on behalf of the balabas. Because again, the balabas still has a certain ownership over the place in that he could come anytime he wants and tell the tenant to leave. Or maybe he could do that, but right now he hasn't yet. So maybe that's a reason. So maybe that's a reason to say that you can't and you need to do schiras or shuras davka from the landlord. Mefoshim point out, by the way, obviously, you know, now, if the tenant is actually an agent of the landlord, we had, for example, about the other day, and we're going to have soon again about schiray or lakita, that he's his hired worker, long term or temporary. Then, of course, you could do schiras reshus for him. For that matter, also, if the balabas has, if the balabas still has the right to keep certain items of his in that rental apartment, let's say, then also that makes it possible now, then it's considered that no matter what, that he has tfisas yad over there, that he has a certain ownership over there, and again you could do schiras reshus for him. So the question is over here, where you have none of those considerations, all you have is that he's a tenant and the landlord could throw him out whenever he wants. Omalehen Rish Lakish Nisker. So Rish Lakish says to them, you know what, let's go ahead and do the schiras reshus. And go ahead and because after all, Eruvin are drabanan and a suffic drabanan were makelin. Now in this case it's a different kind of suffic. The kind of sfeikas we've been talking about before have been where the situation itself is uncertain. Here we know what the situation is. The question is just what the halacha is. It's called suffic yediya. In many cases in halacha, we said that's not considered a suffic. But here again, Eruvin being dinabanan, we can rely even that it's a suffic yediya. We can rely on that. When we get to our Rabbeim in the south of Eretz Yisrael, Nishalahen, then we'll ask them whether what we did was correct. And we'll find out once and for all what the halacha is. So they did that. Also, Shiloh Rab office. So they went and asked Rab office. He says to them, you did correct in doing the Schiras Rishus. The halacha is you are able to do Schiras Rishus from a tenant, if not even from a member of the family, if the situation is that the landlord could kick him out anytime he wants. This is the source in halacha for the concept of being able to do schira. Nowadays, if we make a city eruv, we do schiras. For example, in apartment buildings, we often do from the super. When we're doing an eruv that involves city streets, we do schiras reshus from the mayor or from the police. It's based on this kind of thing that they have certain rights over the houses and over the streets. In the case of the streets, for example, the police can block them off whenever they want, which gives them a certain bilus over it. In the case of houses, it's a little more it's a little harder to do, because in a democracy, it's not so easy. I mean, even, you know, the mayor or the police can't just kick somebody out of their house without reason. But the houses themselves, the Goyisha houses, are usually not included in the Eruv. Just when you're making a city Eruv, just the streets and small parks and things like that. But it's based on this Gemara over here. Also based on, we're going to have later on in our Masechta, we're going to have other examples where you have an agent doing schiras reshus on behalf of another one. Another example, also involving Chachamim in an inn on Shabbos, and also involving Schiras Rishus, Rav Chanina bar Yosef, Rav Chir bar Abba, Rav Asi, Iklu Lahu Pondak. These three Chachamim were in an inn on Shabbos. Now here, the situation was, the Asa Nochri Morid de Pondak b'Shabsa. What happened was that before Shabbos, the Goyisha owner of the place, or anybody in his family, hadn't been there, and then he came in the middle of Shabbos. So Rashi, the explanation in Rashi seems to be a little bit hard to understand. It seems that there are actually two explanations combined together in Rashi over here. One is that they did make an Eruv, and it was valid for as long as the goy didn't come there. But now the goy came, and now it spoils the eruv because you need schiras rishus. The other explanation Rashi says is that they didn't make an eruv before, and this is the explanation that Tosfos brings this in the name of Rashi, as this is the actual explanation that Rashi meant, which is that they didn't actually make an eruv because they figured that. We talked about a few days ago the question if the goy who lives over there is not there on Shabbos, does it still require schiras rishus for him? Do we say that even though he's not there, it's considered as though he was? So we said at the beginning of the perek that maybe not. Diras nachri kudiras behema. We said it's considered like an animal stall in that sense. Maybe therefore we wouldn't need schiras rishus. But Rashi is learning over here that. They took the view that it's not like that. Even if he's not there, it creates a problem. And therefore they didn't make an Eruv. So now when the goy came on Shabbos, so before Shabbos, they didn't have the ability to do schiras rishus for him because he wasn't there to do it with him. Now that he came on Shabbos, the question was, can we do schiras rishus with him? And then in order to be able to carry in the schatzer, we'll then do bitul rishus. Then what we'll do is, as we've discussed before, we'll have all of us be mevatel or rishus in the chatzer to one of us. So you have these three chachamim, let's say they'll all be mevatel them to Rav Chanina bar Yosef, and then he'll be able to carry things from his house or his apartment in his room, whatever, in this inn, out into the chatzer. Everybody else will be also fine, but at least that way things will be able to be carried in and out of the chatzer. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation though, because the fact is we said that only if the goy is there on Shabbos does it create a problem. So Tosfos rather says that what it is more like Rashi's first explanation, that they did make an Eruv, but now when the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos, it spoils it. And now the question is, can they do schiras rishus from the goy during Shabbos? And Tosfos gets into a long discussion of why this is different than other cases where you make an Eruv at the beginning of Shabbos and it lasts even if you have, the Tosfos brings an example that we had in Masechta Shabbos, where you have boats tied together and they made an Eruv between them. Then if the boats got separated, then you're not allowed to carry. But then if, let's say, the boats end up getting tied back together, let's say somebody doesn't know that it's Shabbos and ties them back together, or let's say a goy on one of the boats ties them back together, then you're allowed to continue carrying. And Tosfos draws a distinction because over there, once the boats were tied together at the beginning of Shabbos, the expectation was they were going to stay tied together the whole Shabbos. Over here, the goy could come anytime during Shabbos. He's not even limited by travel restrictions because he can travel outside the tchum and he can come by horse and wagon or whatever on Shabbos. So and Tosfos continues to go into a bit of discussion about the pros and cons of that. So the question was again, can they do Amru? So they said, Maul Mega Mine, are we allowed to do Schiras Rishus from this goy on Shabbos? The question was, do we say that doing Schiras Rishus is like making an Eruv? Therefore, Mama Arav Mib'odyim Af Seichem Mib'odyim. So the Eruv, of course, has to be made before Shabbos begins. You can't make an Eruv Chatzeres on Shabbos itself. Af Seichem Mib'odyim. So the same thing, doing Schiras Rishus also would have to be done before Shabbos, and you can't do it on Shabbos. Odyoma Seichem Kemavata Rishus Dami. Or maybe doing Schiras Rishus is like doing Bitol Rishus. And ma mevatel rishus v'afilu b'Shabbos. If you're going to be mevatel rishus, again, if we have, you and I are in a chotzer together and we forgot to make an Eruv, I can be mevatel my rishus to you. And then the result is you're allowed to carry from your house to the chotzer on Shabbos. I'm not. And that you can do even on Shabbos. So af seichem v'afilu b'Shabbos. Maybe the same thing, the schiras rishus from the goy, maybe that could be done on Shabbos as well. Now, they're not asking about the point that schira, it's rental, doesn't that, isn't that a business transaction that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos? Because as we learned at the beginning of the perek, it doesn't really have to be an actual thing where you give him money, or we said you can do it even with less than a shava prota. We said you don't need documents, you don't need any of that. It's basically just a symbolic thing. So there's no question from the point of view of mekach umemker, you'd be allowed to do it on Shabbos. The question isn't whether you're allowed to, the question is whether it would be effective. Because again, the same way as you, it's not effective to make an Eruv Chatzeros on Shabbos, maybe it's not effective to do Schiras Roshos either, or maybe not. So again, so you had a machlokes among these three Chachamim. Rav Chanina bar Yosef amar nisker, Rav Asi amar loy nisker. So Rav Chanina ben Yosef said, we should be able to go and do Schiras Roshos from the Goy, and Rav Asi said no. So Rav Chiya bar Abba said to them, here's what we'll do. Nismech al divrei zaken. We'll rely on the words of the elder Talmid Chacham, Rav Chanina bar Yosef, v'nisker, and we'll go ahead and do the schiras rishus. And so again, according to, so either then it means that now the result of it is that schiras rishus will make the original eruv that they made valid again. Actually, the Rishonim brings something that the Ravid says, an interesting idea, that even though, again, when they, let's assume they made an eruv chatzeres before Shabbos, figuring that again, since the goy is not there, it's not going to answer. Then he came in the middle of Shabbos and spoiled the eruv by being there, and now they need schiras rishus. The Ravid learns actually that if they do schiras rishus, then it's called chozer v'nir, like the original eruv, which now was invalid, wakes up again and becomes valid again. It could be that Rashi, in his first explanation over here, agrees with that point. In the second explanation, when Rashi says that they didn't make an eruv in the first place. In the second explanation, where Rashi says they didn't make an eruv in the first place, then the only thing they could do is bitul rishus. And again, that's the explanation. That's the explanation that Tosfos prefers. They could have made an eruv. The fact that there would have been a goy there doesn't answer because he wasn't actually there. So they were in a situation they could have made an eruv. Maybe they didn't actually. But now the question is, can we do schiras rishus and then bitul rishus, and that way one of us will be able to carry? So they ended up doing that. Also, shailu leilu Rabbi Yechanan. So they went and asked Rabbi Yechanan later, did we do the right thing? And again, omalahen yofa asisim sheschartem. He says to them, you did correct in doing the schiras rishus. That does work. Again, either according to the Ravid, that would mean that your original eruv that you made now goes back into effect once you do the schiras rishus. According to everybody else, it would mean that no, your original eruv doesn't go back into effect, or maybe even you didn't make an eruv in the first place, but now you can do bitul rishus. Now, having done bitul rishus, on top of that, at least you've gained that now you have one person, whoever you were mevatel rishus to, is able to carry in that chatzar. And by the way, we're going to learn later on in the perek that mevatel. What you can do is you have, let's say, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi there. They can be mevatel rishus to Reuven, and that way Reuven is allowed to carry what he needs into the chotzer. Then Reuven and Shimon together can go and be mevatel rishus to Levi for another part of Shabbos, and now Levi is allowed to carry in and out of the chotzer, and they can go back and forth like that. So that way they're able to carry after all. Okay. So the Gemara says tohu b'nahar doi. The Nahaudoi, the Chachamim of Nahauda, tohu on the statement. Now, later on the Omer, Rashi explains that the word tohu means smelling. Rashi brings from a Gemara elsewhere, where in Avodah Zarah, where the word the Shodesh Toha means to smell. So, like they're sniffing around this and like trying to think, is this correct or not? Is this correct? But why would this work? And does this fit with other things that we know that Rabbi Yechanan said? The other possibility is Tohu can also mean they wondered about it. How could this be correct? Like Aaron in this week's parasha, Varetzayis a Tohu Vavoyu. It's interesting that Rashi only explains this tohu later on and not this one. So it could be that Rashi over here understands tohu in the regular sense, that it means that they wondered about it. And only later on, then Rashi says that it would mean that he investigated it. Maybe the difference is because here the Gemara is going to point out that the Nahadoya are going to point out a contradiction between this and another statement of Rabbi Yochanan. So that's something to wonder about. How could we say that Rabbi Yochanan said this if we know Rabbi Yochanan said something else? Later on, the Tohi that we're going to have further down on the Amud is going to be different. It's going to be not how could Rabbi Yochanan say this, but how does this fit with something else that I heard from my Rebbe Shmuel? In which case, I mean, that's not something to wonder about. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel are allowed to argue, but it's something to think about and to investigate. Is there some way that we can make them fit together? So maybe for that reason, Rashi over here leaves it unexplained, and it's when we're meant to understand that it's the usual meaning of Toha, which means to wonder about it. Anyway, Tohu ba Nahadoi, so the Nahadoi wondered about it. Is this in fact the case? You mind muting yourself? There's some background noise there. Thank you. So Tohu ba Nahadoi, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? That it's okay to do the Schiras Rishus in the middle of Shabbos? Ba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Seichu Kama Arav Dami. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan and say that doing Schiras Rishus is like making the Eruv? My love, now doesn't that, on the face of it, that means that just like the Eruv has to be made before Shabbos, so does the Schiras Rishus. So then we would see that the Schiras Rishus in fact has to be done before Shabbos, and that would contradict what we just have from the story that Rabbi Yochanan said you could do it on Shabbos. The answer is loy. No, that's not necessarily what it means. It means mama arava afilu b'pachas meshava pruta, afseicha b'pachas meshava pruta. It can mean there are a number of other there are other things in which we can say that an eruv and schiras reshus from the goy are similar. So number one, just like you can make an eruv with less than a shava pruta of food. You can contribute your food for the Eruv. We're going to learn later on in the eighth perek that the food for the Eruv, you have to have shtei sudas for each person. But first of all, shtei sudas of food, it could be some very cheap kind of food, which is worth less than a pruta, or even you happen to have, for example, let's say bread is very, very cheap. You could use that, let's say. But also, we say that if there's more than 18 people in the chotzer, then all you need is two sudas for all of them, two gregeris rather, for all of them combined. Sorry, you need a gregeris for each person. Not shtei sudas. You need a gregeris for each person up to 18. And if you have more than 18, then you only need a total of 18 gregeris for everybody. So therefore, so you can have, by the time you reach that many people, if you have, let's say, 50 people in the chotzer, 50 families in the chotzer, let's say, then each one is only giving a very tiny amount of food. And we're saying that, so it can be less than a shava pruta. Af seicha b'pachas meshava pruta. The same way, the schiras reshus can also be less than a pruta. That's one connection between them. And umam arav afilo schiro elokitoi, just like when it comes to making the eruv, just like when it comes to giving the eruv food, even the afilo schiro elokitoi, even the hired worker, the long-term or short-term hired worker of the goy is able to join in the eruv. We learned the other day about this. We said two possibilities over there. Actually, one is that it means that one is that schiro lekita over here means the schiro lekita of a goy, that instead of having to do schiras reshus, he's able to do schiras reshus on behalf of the goy and then participate in the eruv. Or the other possibility we said is maybe he doesn't even need to do schiras reshus; he can just participate in the eruv. But anyway, the point is that schiro lekita can stand in for him. Af socher afilo schiro lekita. So the same thing when it comes to Schiras Rishus, also the Schirei Lekitoi, if you have a Jew working for a Goy, then he's able to do Schiras Rishus on behalf of his boss, the Goy. And umama arev, and here's a third comparison, just like when it comes to an eruv, chamisha sheshurin b'chotzer achas echad ma'arev ayde kulon, if you have five or however many people living in one chotzer, then one of them is able to make an Eruv on behalf of all of them. We learned about this earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to learn about it again later on in our Perek, that if, let's say, you have, so you have, let's say, two Chatzeres, one next to the other, So let's say the people in one chatzar made themselves an Eruv. Now they want to join in with the next chatzar over and join them in their Eruv as well, so that they can carry not only within their chatzar, but between them and the next chatzar over through the doorway between them. Then you don't have to have all five of them. You don't have to have all five of them bring over the Eruv to the other one. You can have one person bring over the Eruv food as a shliach on behalf of the rest of them. So the same thing, Sirchanami, the same thing applies to Schiras Rishus, Chamisha Shishurin Bechatzer Achas Echad Sirchayde Kulan. If you need Schiras Rishus from the Goy, you don't need all five people to go together to the Goy to be Sirchir Rishus. You can send one person, and he does it, and he acts as a Shliach on behalf of all of them, and then the Schiras Rishus is done to all of them. So the point is, in other words, so we see that there are other comparisons that we can be making between an Eruv and Schiras Rishus. It doesn't require us to say that another point of comparison is that they have to be both done before Shabbos, and therefore it doesn't contradict what Rabbi Yochanan said in the story with the three Chachamim, that you can do Schiras Rishus on Shabbos. Okay. Now, continues the Gemara, Tohi Bara Balazar. Rabbi Lozer was tohi on this. So again, here Rashi explains that the word tohi means he was sniffing into it, like he's thinking into it to understand what's going on over here. But he didn't say what the problem was. He was just, he seemed like he needed to investigate this thing that Rabbi Yochanan said, that you can do Schiras Rishus on Shabbos. So Amar Rab Zeira, Mahiti, Dir Rab Elazar. So Rab Zeira asks, what does Rab Elazar find so strange about this that he needs to investigate it and sniff around in it? Amar of Sheshis, so Rab Sheshis says, I don't understand Rab Zeira's question. Gavra Rabak Rab Zeira lo yoda Mahiti, Dir Rab Elazar. How could a great person, a great Talmud Chacham like Rab Zeira, not know what Rab Elazar's problem was with this that he has to investigate into it? His problem was very obvious. Kokashalei d'shmuel rabbi. Rabbi Lozer had a problem that this seems to contradict what he learned from his Rebbe Shmuel. Now, of course, Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel are both Amiroim. They can argue with each other. But Rabbi Lozer would rather see if there's some way to reconcile them. So, d'amar Shmuel, kol makom sh'oisrinum arvin mevatlin. The rule is like this, Shmuel says. Any time that you have where there are two people there and they aser one from another, they aser one another to carry. In other words, if they don't make an Eruv, they're going to be also to carry in their joint area, their chotzer or whatever. Arvin. And the situation is that they could make an Eruv if they wanted. Then, mevatlin, then they're able to do bitul rishus. But, continues Shmuel, Ma'arvin ve'en oisrin. If you have a scenario where they could make an Eruv, but if they didn't make an Eruv, then they're not asering on each other, which we're going to give examples of that soon, or oisrin ve'en ma'arvin, or the other way around, where one of them asers the other, and they're not able to make an Eruv. In those cases, ein mevatlin, then they're not able to do bitul rishus. So let's give examples of that. So first we're going to give examples of that, and then we're going to explain how this seems to contradict what Rabbi Yochanan says. Kol makom sh'oisrin ma'arvin mevatlin. What's an example where the two Jews aser one on another to carry if they don't make an Eruv, and therefore they could make an Eruv, and therefore we say if they failed to make an Eruv, then instead they can do bitul rishus. What is an example? Kigoin beis chatzeres zulefnim mizu. For example, you have two chatzeres, one inward of the other. So you have the first diagram in Hagoyes HaBach. You have, as we learned about the other day, you have an inner chotzer where the only way to get in and out of it is to walk through the outer chotzer. So a few days ago we talked about the idea, what happens if the people in the inner chotzer, actually we talked about yesterday a case about this involving Jews and Goyim. So if the people in the inner chotzer make their own Eruv, then you have a machloikas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim later on in the Perek, where towards the end of the Perek, whether if they didn't join in an Eruv with the outer chotzer, whether the outer chotzer is going to be mutter or osir to carry in their area. So now it's called, what you have is the people in the inner chotzer having made themselves an Eruv are called regel hamuteres b'mekoima. they're allowed to carry in their zone, in their inner chatzer. The question is whether they aser the outer chatzer because by virtue of the fact that they walk through it. But here you have the scenario over here, let's say, is the people in the inner chatzer didn't even make their own Eruv. So then everybody agrees, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, that it's called Regel HaAsura B'Mekoyma, the feet of the people in the inner chatzer are also to carry in their chatzer on Shabbos, because they didn't make an Eruv in their inner chatzer. They are therefore going to aser the outer chatzer when they walk through it, even if the people in the outer chatzer made their own Eruv. So there's an example where Oisrin Um Arvin, the people in the inner chotzer cause the people in the outer chotzer to be also to carry. Um Arvin, they could conceivably have made an Eruv if they wanted, they just forgot to or whatever. So now the din is Mevatlin, so now Shmuel is saying that now they're able to be Mevatl. What do they do? The people in the inner chotzer are Mevatl Rashus to the people of the outer chotzer, and then therefore the people in the outer chotzer are able to carry. So that would be an example of what we mean Komakam Sha Oisrin Um Arvin Mevatlin. So that's what's the other example? Ein mevatlin. What ma'arvin ve'ein oisrin ein mevatlin. What is the example where we say people who could have made an eruv, but the lack of making an eruv between them doesn't aser one to the other? Would be kagan beis chatzeros or pesach achabeneid. Would be where you have the second diagram in Hagoyis Habach. Two chatzeros, both of them are open into the mavui, so they're side by side, unlike the previous one where one is behind the other, and they have a doorway between them. So if there's a doorway between them, so we're going to learn later on in the seventh perek that we have in many such cases, they're allowed to make one joint Eruv if they want, but they don't have to. They could each make their own separate Eruv, and just they're not going to be able to carry from one chotzer to another. And Shmuel is saying in that case, they can't do Bittul Rishus, because the whole concept of Bittul Rishus only applies where without it, you wouldn't be able to carry at all. Here, the people in the left chotzer are able to carry in their chotzer. The people in the right chotzer are able to carry in their chotzer. So according to Shmuel's rule, Bittul Rishus is not effective in that case. Even suppose they want to carry something from one chotzer to another, they can't be Mevatul Rishus in order to be able to do that. So now, the third part of Shmuel's rule, when we say that there's a case where they aser on each other to carry in a certain area, but we're saying they couldn't have made an eruv. How do you have a case where oisrin, but they couldn't have made an eruv, and we're saying ein mevatlin la'asuyimai sorab. So Elazar is wondering what would that come to include. Lav la'asuyin nochri. Presumably, it would be the case where you have a goy involved, where again the two Jews with the two Jews aser one on another to carry in that chotzer, because again that's the rule. Two or more Jews in a chotzer, then you can't carry in it. They're not able to make an eruv because of the goy, because they need schiras rishus, and we're saying ein mevatlin. That contradicts what Rabbi Yochanan said, that you're able to be mevatl rishus in the middle of Shabbos. And we have to figure out v'i de'osa me'esmo. Now, we obviously can't be talking about the case where the goy was there, where the goy was there before Shabbos. Because what do you mean? What's the problem? Loiga me'esmo. We could have done schiras rishus from him the day before. So then in that case, you'd be back to you. Do schiras rishus with him before Shabbos. Comes Shabbos, therefore, you have a case where it's oisrin arvin, where without an eruv, they're going to be also to carry, but with it, but they are able to make an eruv. So what's the problem? So obviously the scenario that it's oisrin ve'en ma'arvin, el alav de'osa b'shabbos. Apparently, the case must be where the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos. And still, Shmuel is calling that oisrin ve'ein ma'arvin. That we're saying that the fact that the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos makes it now that they could not have made an eruv. So again, does that mean they couldn't have made an Eruv to begin with? Tosfos says not. Tosfos says they could go ahead and make an Eruv because the goy's not there. But the fact is, if he comes in the middle of Shabbos, then it spoils the Eruv. And again, even if they do Schiras Rishus, Tosfos learns that's not going to redo the Eruv. Now again, the Ravid learns differently. So he would have to say that Ein Ma'arvin means in the sense, fine, but as long as we don't do Schiras Rishus, and we did say the other day that it's not a given that the goy is going to be willing to do it. We said, after all, we had the story involving Lachman Baristak or Haman bar Ristak over there, where we said he didn't want to do Schivas or Shuras, and they had to find a way around it. So Vikatoni ate Oystrin Vein Mavatlin and Oystrin Vein Ma'arvin Ein Mavatlin. And so now, so we have to say that Shmuel is talking about this kind of scenario where you have, again, where you have two Jews, so they're Oystrin. There's a Goy involved, so Ein Ma'arvin. The Goy wasn't there at the beginning of Shabbos because then they could have done Schivas or Shus then. So you wouldn't call that Ein Ma'arvin. It must be that he came in the middle of Shabbos. And again, therefore, Ein Ma'arvin means either, therefore, they didn't make an Eruv to begin with because they figured he's going to come in the middle of Shabbos and spoil it. Or maybe they did make an Eruv, but as soon as he comes, then that Eruv goes out of effect because he's there. And Shmuel is saying, Oystrin Vein Ma'arvin Ein Mevatlin, that you can't do Bitul Rishus. Shmamino, so that proves that that is what Shmuel is saying. So therefore, so that's Rabbi Lazar was wondering then, he was trying to figure out, is there a way to reconcile what Rabbi Yochanan is saying with what Shmuel is saying? Now, apparently there doesn't seem to be a way. It seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel are arguing. So who is the halacha like? Tosfos discusses on Amud Aleph whether Tosfos discusses on Amud Aleph. He brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. In general, when we have a machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. And besides, halacha kedivrei Amekor be'eruv. On the other hand, Tosfos continues and brings from the Ri that we have a brisa later on in the perek that works out better according to Shmuel, and therefore that would mean the halacha is according to Shmuel. L'maisa, most of the poskim paskin, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, like Rabbi Yechanan, that you could do schiras rishus in the middle of Shabbos if you need to. Again, it doesn't result in that the eruv becomes valid. Again, the halacha is not the most of the poskim disagree with the Ravid that the eruv can be chozer v'nir. But the result is once you do schiras rishus, then okay, then you'll be able to do bitul rishus. They'll be able to all be mevatul rishus to one of the to one of the Jews over there, and then at least he'll be able to carry in and out of his house to the chotzer. And then again, later on during Shabbos, they can change that and be mevatul rishus to the next person, and continue like that throughout Shabbos. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef lo shmieli hoshmaita. Rabbi Yosef says, I didn't, about the statement of Shmuel about the case of the two chatzeres, one within the other, the first diagram that we had on Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Yosef says, I have not heard of the statement of Shmuel, which he was surprised about. If Shmuel said this, I should have heard this. And of course, we know that it was the usual thing, as we know throughout Shas, that Rabbi Yosef became sick at some point and forgot his learning, and his Talmidim would have to remind him. So Amalei Abaya at Amrit Nihalon. So Abaya says to him, you previously told it to us. Va'aho Amrit Nihalon. You told us this statement of Shmuel in connection with the following din. D'Amar Shmuel, Ein bitul rishus, but mechatzer lechatzer. Shmuel had said there's no bitul rishus from one chatzer to the other, which is the scenario that we're talking about, where you have that where you have two chatzeres, where you have two chatzeres, one next to the other. Where you have two chatzeres, one next to the other, where again each one is independent of the other one insofar as going in and out of the mavui or going in and out of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore they don't have to make an eruv together in order to be able to carry, because neither the people of one chatzer don't have to cross through the other one. And also, Shmuel had said, "Ve'ein bitul rishus b'churva." Also, there's no bitul rishus when it comes to a ruined house. Meaning, Rashi explains, let's say you have a house, you have a house here, a house there. In between them, you have a ruined house. Now, both of them want to be able to use it. Both of them, for example, want to be able to throw things there. Let's say they could use it as their garbage dump or something. So again, you have a shared area between two houses, which they'd like to be able to use. So so Shmuel is saying that bitul rishus is not effective in being able to do that. Again, for a similar reason to before, because bitul rishus is only as a last ditch measure. You didn't make an eruv, and now you're not going to be able to carry to your chotzer. Now you're not going to be able to carry to and from your chotzer at all. So then the Chachamim made a kula and said you can do bitul rishus, but not when you have over here. It's only a churva. It's not something that you need to use on an ongoing basis necessarily. Then the Chachamim are, it's not ikur tashmish sayur, Rashi says, it's not your main tashmish is not over there. So then the Chachamim are not going to allow bitul rishus. And by the way, Tosfos points out on Amud Aleph, this is therefore a bit of an exception to Shmuel's rule. We said that kol makom she'osru ma'arvin mevatlin. This is an exception to that, because the fact is here they do aser one on the other because they both have joint ownership over the churva. They could have made an eruv if they wanted and include the churva in it as well. And yet we're saying you can't do bitul rishus. So that rule that Shmuel said on Amud Aleph is not an absolute rule. Anyway, the point is that so va'amrit lan Allah, so Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, so now you told us in connection with that statement of Shmuel, this that we're saying, ki yomar Shmuel ein bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer, this that Shmuel was saying, you can't be mevatel rishus from one chatzer to another, loy amoron ela shtei chatzeres pesach echad beinehem. That applies only to the second scenario that we had on Amud Aleph, where you have two chatzeres with a doorway between them. So each chatzer is able to go in and out independently. They don't have to go over into each other's space. So they're not asering each other, because if they each make their separate eruv, then they're able to carry individually in their chatzer. So therefore, so even though they could conceivably make an eruv between themselves if they want, but they're not required to, they're able to carry without it. And therefore, if they didn't make that eruv between them, then they can't do bitul rishus. Aval zulifnim mizu, but if the chatzeres are one further in than the other, the first scenario that we had on Amud Aleph, where the people in the inner chatzer can only get in and out by walking through the outer chatzer, then So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, you told us that no, there you could have bitul rishus from chatzer to chatzer. Mitoich she'osrin zelzeh, since if they don't make an eruv, if the people in the inner chatzer do not make an eruv, then they're going to be aser in the outer chatzer, because again it's regal ha'asura b'mekoyma, because they're not allowed to carry in their zone. So because of that, mevatlin. So therefore, they're able to do bitul rishus if they didn't make an eruv of their own. If each one made an eruv of their own, then it's not necessary, because then they're not asering the people in the outer chatzah when they walk through them. The halacha is like the chachamim, that regal hamuteres b'mekoyma, it does not aser the other chatzah when it walks through it, not like Rabbi Akiva. But over here, if the people in the inner chatzah did not even make an eruv of themselves, and therefore they're going to aser the outer chatzah when they walk through it, then, so Rabbi says to Rabbi Yosef, you told us that then Shmuel would say that you are able to be mevatel. The people in the inner chatzer can be mevatel rishus to the people in the outer chatzer. The people in the inner chatzer now are not going to be able to carry in and out of their houses to their chatzer at all, but at least they're not going to be asering the outer chatzer by walking through it. Okay. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers Abaya, Ano aminim eshmei de Shmuel hachi. Did I really say that in the name of Shmuel? Shmuel also said another statement. When it comes to Eruvin, the only cases where we can add a heter, where we're able to be matur something, we can only follow the loshen of the Mishnah that we have. And the Mishnah later on in the Perek says, Anshei Chotzer V'loi Anshei Chatzei Rois. Later on in the Perek, you have a case, it says the people of a Chotzer, where they forgot and one person did not join in an Eruv, or all of them didn't join in an Eruv, or whatever, then they can be Mevatel Rishus, implying that it's talking about one Chotzer. The implication is that there's no bitul rishus ever from one chatzer to another. So what are you telling me that there's a case where Shmuel says that you could do bitul rishus from one chatzer to another, namely where one chatzer is inside, is further back than another one, and the only way to go through, and the only way for the inner chatzer to go in and out is through the outer chatzer? That would be chatzei rois. So therefore, according to Shmuel's rule, bitul rishus shouldn't be allowed there, because the Mishnah is not implying that such a thing is allowed. So it has to be that Shmuel would say that in all cases you can't do bitul rishus from one chatzer to another. So Abaya, what are you telling me that I said that there's a case where Shmuel would allow bitul rishus from one chatzer to another? So Abaya corrects him. He says, "Ki amrit lon mishmei de Shmuel ein lona be'eruv in elak kaloshin mishnasenu." Yes, you did say this rule that Shmuel had said that when it comes to heterim in the dinim of eruv echatzeres, we can only follow the exact wording of the Mishnah and we can't make up further heterim that are not implied in the words. But aho amrit lon, you weren't talking about that Mishnah on daf samachtes about anshe chotzer. You were talking about a different Mishnah. You were talking about a different Mishnah at the end of the Perek, where the Mishnah says, Shamovui lachatseris kachotzo labatim. The relationship of the Mavui to the Chatzeres is like the relationship of the Chotzer to the houses. Now we learn from that. We learn from that later on that in order for it to be considered a mavoi and be able to have the rules of a mavoi, where you need a shit of mavoyus, and more to the point, also where you have what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that you need that you can use a lechi or a koda, that applies only if the mavoi has at least two chatzeres opening into it. And the chotzer has at least two houses, and each chotzer has at least two houses opening into it. Otherwise, if the mavoi has fewer chatzeres, so the chatzeres have fewer houses, then the mavoi is not considered a mavoi, then it's considered, in effect, another chotzer, and a lechi or a koda is not enough for it. Then you need a tzuras a pesach, or a pas dalet, or a board four tefachim wide, etc., as we talked about in the first perek of our Masechta. So the point is, Rabbi Yosef had said about that Mishnah that we have to follow the exact wording of the Mishnah, and therefore the definition of a mavoi depends on there being chatzei rois and each chatzer having houses, because the Mishnah uses the expression in the plural chatzei rois and batim. But not in it. So that's what Rabbi Yosef had said, that there Shmuel is saying we can only follow that, and therefore you have to have that. That defines for us what a mavoi is, where otherwise we don't have that definition. Shmuel's statement was not referring to the Mishnah about anshe chotzer sheshochach echad mehen to say that it applies only to one chotzer but not two. Okay, so there's no contradiction between the various statements that we're bringing in the name of Shmuel, where we're saying that you could do bitul rishus from one chotzer to another, namely when you have a chotzer behind another chotzer, and then that the people from the inner chotzer are able to be mevatul rishus to the outer ones because otherwise they're going to aser things for them. That doesn't contradict what Shmuel is saying, that ein lona be'eruvin al kolashim mishnah seinu, because that has nothing to do. That's talking about a different mishnah. An interesting side point over here, Tosfos mentions over there something where in that sugya, Shmuel uses the expression, even if there's one house and one chotzer, so which seems to contradict what we're saying over here, that you need two chatzeres, each one with two houses, and then Tosfos says, v'chad minayo ba'achrita, one of them is achrita. So what is achrita? Achrita can mean behind. So Marsha says maybe Tosfos means that Shmuel still means the same thing, that we're talking about one chotzer behind another one. However, Marsha says then the language that Tosfos is using is a little bit odd. So the Chacham Tzvi has in the middle of a tshuva about a completely different topic, where he's dealing with an issue with the jurisdiction of Beis Dins and Batei Dinim in cities that are close together. In the middle of that tshuva, he deals with our Tosfos over here and says the word achrita over here may mean the second statement. In other words, that Shmuel first said Bayis Echad b'chotzer achas, but then he changed his mind and said what we're saying in our sugya over here, that for it to be considered a mavri, you need two houses, you need two chatzeres, each one with at least two houses. Okay. Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Amar Shmuel ein bitul rishus mechotzer lechotzer, the ein bitul rishus bechorva. So again, Shmuel had said that you can't do bitul rishus from one chotzer to another. In other words, in the case, so again, Rabbi Yosef had thought that it meant both cases, whether one chotzer is behind the other or one chotzer is next to the other. And now we said in the end that no, Shmuel would be fine with doing bitul rishus from the inner chotzer to the outer one, because otherwise they're going to aser the outer one when they walk through it. But not when it comes to two chatzeres side by side, where they don't have to make an eruv in the first place to be mutter to carry in their chatzer. The ein bitul rishus b'chorva, and also Shmuel had said there's no bitul rishus when it comes to a chorva, to a wound house, where again it's between two houses and they both want to be able to use it in common by picking things up out of it or putting things into it. So Shmuel had said there's no bitul rishus in that connection because it's not ikur tashmishta, it's not the main place that you need to use like a chotzer for the house. Rabbi Yechanan disagrees and says you could even do bitul rishus from one chatzar to another, and you could do bitul rishus to be able to use the churva. So again, if they made an eruv between themselves, the two houses, and they include the churva, then good, they're both allowed to use the churva, same as a chatzar. But if they didn't, then Rabbi Yechanan is saying they could be mevatel rishus one to the other, and still be able to use, and one of them will be able to use the churva. Now, so we have two machloikasin of Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel. We have this one, and we have the one on Omer Aleph about whether they're able to do bitul rishus in the middle of Shabbos. Never mind that. We're saying within this itself, we're mentioning chotzer lechotzer and churva. Now, why does Shmuel have to mention both of them, and why does Rabbi Yechanan have to mention both of them? So the Gemara says it's tzricha. We need both of those statements. We couldn't have derived one from the other. If we only learned that the case of from one chotzer to another, where Shmuel says you can't do bitul rishus and Rabbi Yechanan says you could, you would say baha ka'ama Shmuel. You know why Shmuel is saying that you can't do bitul rishus. Mishum dahotash mishta lachud, bahotash mishta lachud. Because after all, the case of two chatzeres, one next to the other, each one is functioning independently. Each person, the people in each chotzer are able to use their chotzer independently. Neither one of them requires the other one because they each have their own exit to the mavoi. So they could make an eruv between them if they want through the doorway, but they're not required to. So you could say each one is able to use their chotzer independently. Therefore, Shmuel would say the chachamim didn't give us the kula bitul rishus in that case. When it comes to a churva, where the point is they want to be able to both use it jointly, there's not this kind of thing where one of them, it's after all, it's a joint area between the two of them. Maybe Shmuel would agree with Rabbi Yechanan that because it's an area which has to be used jointly, each one, there isn't really, not has to be, but in other words, the point is that the way that it's being used is jointly. It's not something which belongs more to one than the other, unlike the case of the two chatzeres, where each one has their own independent chatzer. Ema modulei l'Rabbi Yechanan, you would think maybe Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Yechanan that they could be mevatel rishus, so therefore Shmuel had to tell us not. On the other hand, if we only had the case of the churva, you would say b'ha ka'am Rabbi Yechanan. Only there does Rabbi Yechanan say you could do bitul rishus for that reason, because it's one churva shared by the two of them. Aval b'hach moedil l'shmuel, you would think maybe in the case of the two separate chatzeres, where each one has their own chatzer that they can carry in, it moedil l'shmuel, you would think that he agrees with Shmuel. He agrees with Shmuel that you can't do bitul rishus. Tzricha, and therefore we need them to be telling us both cases. Again, the poskim paskin mostly like Rabbi Yechanan, because again, on the grounds that Rabbi Yechanan against Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan, and also because halacha kediver amekob eruv, and therefore the halacha is that you could do bitul rishus between one chotzer and another, and also you can do bitul rishus to be able to use a churva. Okay. Amar Abaya, Hod Amar Shmuel in Bitul Rishus Mechotzer Lachotzer. So again, going back to what we said before, Abaya says that Shmuel's rule, where he says in Bitul Rishus Mechotzer Lachotzer, Loi Amoron Ela B'Shtei Chatzeres or Pesach Echad Beinehem. That applies only if it's two chatzeres with one door between them. In other words, again, the second scenario, the second diagram that we had on Amud Aleph, where each one can go in and out of the mavri by themselves. They don't have to cross over through one. One doesn't have to go through the other one's thing. So Shmuel is saying, because they're able to carry in their individual chatzer, therefore we don't allow them bitul rishus to be able to carry between the chatzeres. But Abaya says, when you have one chatzer further back than the other one, the first scenario that we had on Amud Aleph, then we would say, mitoch sha'oistrin mevatlin. Since again, if the people in the inner chatzer do not make an eruv chatzeres, then they're going to aser the people in the outer chatzer to carry in their chatzer because they're walking through it. Therefore, mevatlin. Therefore, they're able to be mevatel rishus. What they can do is, again, they're in this case mevatel rishus. To be exact, it's not just their mevatel rishus that they can't carry in their chotzer. They anyway can't carry in their chotzer because they didn't make an eruv. What we mean is actually mevatel rishus that they're giving up their rights to walk through the outer chotzer. For that Shabbos, they're saying basically we're going to stay in our chotzer and we're not going to walk through yours in order not to aser it for you. So Abaya says that even according to Shmuel, that would work. Rava Amar, Rava says it's not so simple. Afilu shtei chatzeres zu lefne mizu, pa'amim mevatlen u'pa'amim ein mevatlen. Even when you have two chatzeres, one further back than the other, not necessarily, and we're saying that, the people in the inner chatzer, if they walk through the outer one, are going to aser them, because they're regal ha'iset ha'asura b'mekayma, because they're also to carry in their area, since they didn't make themselves an eruv, and therefore they'd be asering the other chatzer when they walk through it. It depends. Pa'amim mevatlen u'pa'amim ein mevatlen. Rava says there are going to be scenarios where they're able to be mevatel their drisas regel, their rights to walk through the outer chatzer, and sometimes not. Kate said, what are the possible scenarios? So let's go through. Nosnu a ruven b'chitzoyna. So let's start with the case. Let's start with the case when if they put the eruv food in the outer chatzer. Now, Rashi explains, usually what you have is, if you have people in two chatzeres make eruvin, usually what you have is, let's say you have people in one chatzer made themselves an eruv in order to be able to carry in it, then if they now want to join with another chatzer, again, there were, you know, we said before, we had, you know, typically you'll have one person, we said one person is able to carry over the food to the other one. They're not usually going to say, well, let's make a separate Eruv, let's start putting together other food. They'll take the same Eruv food that they used for their own chatzer, and they're going to put it in the other chatzer. So now what happens is, so suppose that people in the inner chatzer made it Eruv, and then they decided, you know what, we actually should join with the outer chatzer as well. Let's join them into our Eruv as well, so that we're able to carry between our chatzer and theirs. The shachach echad, and so they put the Eruv food in the outer chatzer. The shachach echad beim na pnimis or beim na chatzonu v'lo Eruv. Now what happened was one person in either one of the chatzeres forgot to join in the Eruv. So now you have a problem without bitur rishus, shtehen asuris. So now the result is going to be that both the people in both chatzeres are going to be osur to carry, and bitur rishus is not even going to be effective. So what we have is, in other words, that the Gemara is going to explain why. But again, keep in mind the scenario is that we're talking about the Eruv, which the Bnei Apnimis, the people from the inner chatzer made for themselves, is now actually located in the outer chatzer. So we're saying then that Bitur Rishus wouldn't help. Second case, Nosnu Eruvin Bapnimis, what happens if they take this joint Eruv and keep it in the inner chatzer? So again, let's say you could have the other way around. Let's say the people of the outer chatzer first made themselves an Eruv. Then they decided to join the inner chatzer in with it as well. So they took the food and brought it into the inner chatzer. The shachach echem napnimis v'leirav. If one of the people from the outer chatzer forgot to join in, no problem. He can do bitur rishus. But if one of the people of the inner chatzer forgot to join in the eruv, shtei anasuris, then again, both of them are going to be osur, and bitur rishus is not going to help either. On the other hand, if in that scenario, when the Eruv is in the inner chatzer, if somebody from the outer chatzer forgot to join in the Eruv, pnimis muteres v'chitzoyna asura, then the inner chatzer is still going to be able to carry, and the people of the inner chatzer are still going to be able to carry in their chatzer. The people of the outer chatzer are not going to be able to. Actually, I misread it a little bit. So here, let me go it over again. If they put it in the chitzoyna and somebody forgot to join in from either one, the shtei nasuris. A second case, nosnu eruvin b'pnimis. If they put it in the inner chatzer, v'shachachachem napnimis v'la'eruv shtei nasuris. If somebody from the inner chatzer forgot and didn't join in the eruv, then they're both aser. V'shachachachem v'la'eruv. If somebody from the outer chatzer forgot to join in the eruv, pnimis muteres v'chitzoyna asura. So now let's go through those three cases and understand why, in which cases bitur rishus is going to work and which ones it won't. We're saying if they took the joint eruv of the two chatzeres and put it in the outer chatzer, and somebody, whether from the inner or the outer chatzer, forgot to join in the eruv, why are we saying they're both osur? And bitur rishus is not going to help, because if it's a person from the inner chatzer forgot to join in, then let's consider hai bar pnimis l'man nivtol. If you have somebody from the inner chatzer forgot to join in the eruv, if you want him to do bitur rishus, who should he be doing bitur rishus to? Livtol l'bnei pnimis, should he be saying I'll be mevatel rishus to the other people in the inner chatzer? Can't. Lesa la'eruv ayo gamayo. The eruv food is not located in their chatzer. Bitul Rishus is only effective when the Eruv is in that Chatzar. Here, the Eruv food is not even in that Chatzar. Live to Lagabi Chitzayna, should we say he's going to be Mevatul Rishus to the people in the outer Chatzar, can't ain Bitul Rishus me Chatzar le Chatzar, because you can't do Bitul Rishus from one Chatzar to another. Now, even though in this case he's asking on them, but still he's not able to be mevatel rishus to a different chatzar, because that was what Shmuel had said before. That bitul rishus doesn't work from one chatzar to another. And unlike Abaya, who said that in a case of one chatzar within the other, that Shmuel would agree it always works, Rava disagrees with that. Rashi actually asks the question, why don't we say that the people in the outer chotzer should be mevatel rishus to him, to the one person who forgot to join in the Eruv? The problem is that then they're going to be regal hasura b'makayma. Then they're going to be also to carry in their chotzer, and then that the outer chotzer itself is going to be bottle. And then, so even if they have the Eruv food in their chotzer, but because they were mevatel rishus, then therefore that undoes that. So that wouldn't work. And let's ask, so that explains why if a person from the inner chotzer forgot to join in the Eruv, in that case, when the Eruv food is in the outer one, then we're saying that the whole thing is going to become osur, and nobody's going to be able to carry in their chatzeres, and even bitul rishus is not going to help. What about now let's talk about the case in that same scenario when the Eruv is located in the outer chotzer and somebody from the outer chotzer forgot to join in the Eruv. You're saying that also bitul rishus doesn't help. Why? Because again, hai b'chitzayna l'man nivdol. Somebody in the outer chotzer, who would he be able to do bitul rishus to? Livdol l'bnei chitzayna. Should we say he'll be mevatel rishus to the other people in his chotzer, in the outer chotzer? That's not going to work. Ika pnimis da'asur alayu. The fact is, you still have the people in the inner chotzer that are going to make it osir, because again, the inner people don't have a valid eruv. Their eruv is not even located by them. So therefore, again, it's regal hasura b'mekayma. So they're not going to be able to carry in their chotzer, and therefore they're going to asur the outer chotzer when they walk through it. So therefore the Eruv is going to be undone by the people on the inside. Livdol l'bnei pnimis. Should we say that the person from the outer chotzer is going to be mevatel to the inner one? Can't ein bitul rishus mechotzer lechotzer. Again, we have Shmuel's rule that you can't be mevatel rishus from one chotzer to another. So therefore, in that case, if the Eruv food is located in the outer chotzer, if somebody in either chotzer forgot to join in the Eruv, then we're not going to be able to have bitul rishus at all, says Rava. Actually, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on that. Tosfos says they could be mevatel rishus to him, and then the result is that he would be mutter to carry in that chotzer. But Rava is talking about, he wants to say, is there a way to make it that the other people are going to be able to carry? And the answer is no, because even if they do bitul rishus, again, unlike Rashi, who says bitul rishus won't even be effective according to Rava in this scenario, according to Tosfos, it would be effective. But fine, all that helps is that he's able to carry. It still doesn't help them to be able to carry. What about the third case, Rava said, Nosnu Eruvan B'Pnimis. Now what happens if they place the Eruv food in the inner chotzer, V'shachach Echmen HaPnimis V'la Eruv Shtein Asuras. If somebody from the inner chotzer forgot to join in the Eruv, then we said they're both Asur. Again, the question is, Hai B'Pnimis L'man Nivdol? Because if you wanted to say that the person in the inner chotzer who forgot to join in the Eruv, that he should be Mevatel Rishus, who is he supposed to be Mevatel Rishus to? Livdol B'nei HaPnimis. Are we going to say that he's going to be mevatel to the other people in the chotzer with him? Can't. Ika chitzayna de asra alayu. You have the outer chotzer now makes the inner chotzer asur. Now, why is that? The outer chotzer doesn't have to go into the inner chotzer. They're able to go in and out without having to go into the inner chotzer. You have a concept that because the Eruv food is located in the inner chotzer, and remember, the whole point of Eruv food is supposed to be that as if you live there, so it's called margil l'soicha. It makes it now, we're going to learn this concept at the end of the perek, it makes it now that the people of the outer chotzer are considered now to a certain extent as if they live in the inner chotzer. It's like they're regularly going in and out of the inner chotzer, and therefore, again, you're going to have the same problem. Live to Libnei Chitzayna, should we say that the person from the inside chotzer should be mevatel rishus to the people of the outer? Again, says Rava, won't work. Ein bitul rishus mechotzer lechotzer. You can't do bitul rishus from one chotzer to another, so it's still not going to work. And And the third and the last possible case, if in that case, when the Eruv food is located in the inner chotzer, we said if somebody from the outer chotzer forgets to join in the Eruv, then Vadai Pnimus Muteres, then Shmuel will agree that we can fix up the situation. We can make the inner chotzer mutter to carry in, because the ochda dosha umishtamsha. Because in effect, what they can do is, now again, we have the problem of a hergel eruv, don't we have that the people of the outer chotzer are considered to be members of the inner chotzer by having their food over there. Then you have a hergel eruv. Now it's considered as though they live in that chotzer. The answer is, Rashi brings from the end of the perek that we're going to say that we only joined you in our eruv where it helps us, not where it hurts us. So the people in the inner chotzer will say, if we're going to have a hergel eruv, if that's going to result because one of you people in the outside chotzer forgot to join in the eruv, therefore none of us are going to be able to carry in our chotzer. No, what we'll do is we'll close our door, we'll close ourselves off, we'll say we have an eruv and you don't. The eruv food that you contributed to, which is now in our chotzer, we're going to say is off limits to you. We're closing the door. We're going to stay in our chotzer for Shabbos, and you guys will remain osir. Because you guys will remain also because of your one guy who forgot to join in. Fine, he can be mevata rishus to you guys. That's not our issue. But we ourselves are going to be mutter to carry in our. In our chotzer because we have the eruv food by us. So we'll continue this discussion. We'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But Rashi actually mentions that all of this that we're talking about, that you should need bittul in a case like that, would only be according to Rabbi Akiva, who says, as we said before, that even if you're allowed to carry in your own chotzer, but if you're walking through another chotzer that you didn't make an eruv with, then you're going to make it also. It's called regal hamuteres b'mekayma, or seres shalai b'mekayma. According to the Chachamim, you don't need bittul at all. All you need is you don't need bittul reshus in the first place. The people of the inner chotzer are able to say, if you guys are with us in our eruv, then that creates a problem because you guys have somebody who didn't join in your eruv. We're regal hamuteres b'mekayma because we're allowed to carry in our chotzer. So we're going to close up our chotzer and we're going to undo. We're going to say that the eruv belongs only to us and not to you. On the other hand, if somebody from the inner chotzer didn't join in the eruv, then you can't say that. But then you can't say that we only join in the eruv where it helps us, not when it hurts us, because the fact is, it's the people of the inner chotzer where one of them messed up by not joining in the eruv. Actually, maybe let's take a minute and finish up over here till the two dots. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Eder Rav Yeshua LeRava. So Rav Huna Bar Eder Rav Yeshua asks Rava, on one of your scenarios, v'chishochach ech min ha'pnimis v'lo erev, if one of the people from the inner chotzer forgot and didn't join the eruv, amai shtei nasuris, why are you saying that both chatzeres are osir and you can't do bitul reshus? Livdol hai bar pnimis levnei pnimis, let him be mevatel reshus to the other people in the inner chotzer. The tesi chitzayin of a tishrei ba'adayu, and then the outer chotzer, then the outer chotzer will be mutter together with them. Because again, so you have once he's mevata rishus to some people, then isn't it effective for all of them? So Rava answers him back. Command, Rabbi Eliezer. Well, you're only asking according to Rabbi Eliezer. We learned previously at the very end of the second parak that Rabbi Eliezer says if somebody forgets to join in the Eruv Chatzeres, then he doesn't have to be Mevatel Rishus individually to each person. He can be Mevatel Rishus to one person and then that works for everybody else. So you're saying the same thing over here, you can be Mevatel Rishus to some people and then everybody else will be included in that. But I'm talking according to the Rabbanon, where the Rabbanon say that you have to be mevatel individually to each person. And here, how is he going to be mevatel to the people in the outer chotzer if Shmuel is saying ein bitul reshus mechotzer lechotzer? So therefore, it's not going to work. Okay, so that's the bottom line is that Rava is saying that sometimes you can do bitul reshus mechotzer lechotzer. In the scenario over here, we're saying. There is a certain case where there is a, so if the Erev food is located in the inner chotzer, then the and somebody from the outer chotzer forgot to join in the Erev, then the people in the inner chotzer are able to say that, you know what, listen, you guys join in the Erev. It was meant to help us. Instead, now it's hurting us because now we have a Hergel Eruv over here. The Eruv is causing that you're becoming members of our Chatzar. So we're going to close off our Chatzar and say that the food in effect belongs to us. And therefore, if you want to join in our Eruv, you will have to be Mevatel Rishus to us. Then Rava says that's where Shmuel would say you could do Bitter Rishus from Chatzar to Chatzar when you have one Chatzar inside the other one like that, but otherwise not. As opposed to Abaye had said that more generally that Shmuel would allow Bitter Rishus from one Chatzar to another if the scenario is where the inner Chatzar has to walk through the outer Chatzar. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Shkoyach.